Lord what he would have for us to contemplate. And so I know that our brother has prepared a message. I ask that you would be praying for him and for yourself, that you'd be able and prepared to receive what he has to bring for us. So I give you our brother priest, Glenn Olmsted.
Well, thank you, Adam. Thank you, ladies, for that beautiful song. And good evening, everyone. As I contemplated the time that I would have before you here this evening, I felt that really, as I stood before you, I could quote Paul Harvey and say, well, tonight's the time for the rest of the story. And I say that because I felt impressed rather early on to kind of continue the sermon that I started 2 weeks ago. Those of you that were here two Sundays ago in the morning, I had opportunity to stand before you, and I felt impressed a message. And as I, not quite sure, it's not based on the time, but I looked at the clock and the hour was approaching, and I don't have a problem with going longer than the hour, but I still had more material, and I struggled for a moment, and I really felt impressed that at that time that I'd said enough. But I had more that I thought was important as well. And so I had that on my mind over the past couple of weeks, but even more so that idea, the rest of the story is impressed upon me, that really what I feel I've been given this evening to present to you really is not only a continuation or additional to what I started 2 weeks ago, but really it goes well with some of the messages that we had over the scripture camp for those here that are able to attend that, and well with what our brother gave to us this morning. And so I stand here before you really feeling that the Lord is trying to direct our thoughts and maybe our focus a bit, if you will. And so I'd like us to really try to remember the messages that we've heard over the last few weeks. And I realize I stand before you, not everyone's heard of those. Some of you may have been here 2 weeks ago. Some hadn't to the camp. Maybe some of you weren't here this morning. But hopefully between all those elements, we'll start to maybe see what the Lord is really trying to direct us towards. And I know I felt very much impressed as I had the opportunity to stand before you 2 weeks ago, that the Lord really impressed upon me that there are many, if not all of us, who are struggling in hard times in our lives, that we're facing storms. And I felt that as I stood before you, there are several things that reinforce that in some experiences, in the song that was picked. But even more so as I stand before you here tonight is after that time I had before you, many individuals, not only those who are here within this chapel, but those that are watching as we live stream this, have really expressed having received quite a bit out of that message. And so I do rejoice that the Lord was able to use me in that capacity. And I pray that I would continue to allow him to work this evening, that indeed I would be able to present what I really feel has been impressed upon me. And so I want to jog our memory for those who weren't here a couple weeks ago and for those that were, to refresh our memory. But I spent really the whole time kind of talking about an incident that happened in the fourth chapter of Mark, verses 35 to 41. I'm not going to read them tonight, but I want you to know where we're referring to. And in that instance, it's where our Lord and Savior tells the disciples to take a boat to the other side of Galilee. It's early in his ministry, but they have had opportunity to see him perform miracles, to have some of his teaching. He has called them out. They've accepted that, and they've begun to follow him. And as they're going across the Sea of Galilee, which is actually a very large lake, as they're crossing, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is asleep in the back of the boat. And this storm arrives that is pretty intense, to the point that I believe the disciples felt that their boat was going to sink. And they believe because Jesus is asleep, he's unaware of what's going on. And they awaken him, and as he is awakened, he says, "How is it that you have no faith?" And he calms the storm. A couple points I wanted to make was that is early in our Lord's ministry, but you know, the disciples, they'd seen miracles, they'd chosen to follow him. And more importantly, they knew that they were told to go to the other side. And I believe, and I don't have, obviously for time, I'm not going to go through all, but I expressed a confidence a couple weeks ago that I really believe our Lord knew there was going to be a storm. It was not a surprise to him. And I am quite sure that Jesus was tired, but I don't believe he was oblivious to the situation. He was not asleep because he was so exhausted he couldn't do anything. But the disciples thought that because he's asleep, he didn't care of their plight. He was unaware of it. And their faith was upon themselves and the abilities of their boat. And that the disciples had limited our Lord. They did not recognize his power. They were surprised that he was able to calm the storm. They had seen him do many miracles, but they didn't believe he could do that. To whatever each of them had, they had their limits that they'd set to what they believed the Lord could do. And they were very surprised that he could calm the storm. But the story didn't end there. That's where I kind of finished speaking to you. But they went to the other side, and I'd like to resume that story. I'm going to kind of paraphrase a few things, and then we'll look at a few of the scriptures here. But when they get to the other side, we find events recorded there in Mark in the 5th and the 6th chapter. We find that when they arrived to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, that Jesus heals a man who's possessed by a demon, by an evil spirit. We also find that a woman is healed by a blood disorder by simply touching his garments. Amazing within itself, but more so and surprising to the disciples that apparently there's a large crowd around, but he's aware that this has happened. And they're amazed that he even, with all the people around, he was aware of one specific individual. We find that in those following chapters, once they're on the other side there, that a 12-year-old girl has passed away and he raises her from the dead, restores life to her. We find that once he's on the other side, that even our Lord and Savior could do very little in Nazareth because of disbelief. We find that when he gets to the other side, he sends those 12 out with a mission to go to preach and to heal, to perform some of the very miracles that they had seen him do. We find that while he is on the other side, that's also where it's recorded that our Lord and Savior is able to feed 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He performs many miracles. He calls the disciples to now be part of that. And as I believed, as he was kind of preparing them in that first journey across the sea, kind of a hands-on approach, if you will, they'd had the opportunity to see and observe, but now it was time to put what they learned and what they observed into action. And I believe in that first crossing, they didn't do very well. Not certainly to what our Lord believed they were capable of with more faith, and what his hopes were for them. But our Lord and Savior, in all his love and his compassion, is very, very patient and long-suffering with his children. And I believe that was just the beginning of a work that he's going to try to do in their lives. And I believe an example of what he tries and continues to try to do in our lives. And so if we were, I'm just going to refer to it quickly and then we're going to turn away. But as we follow along there in that 4th chapter of Mark and through the 5th and the 6th chapters as I was reading, when we get to the end of the 6th chapter, Mark chapter 6, verse 45 here, it says, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before in Bethsaida while he sent away the people." And so this begins another set of circumstances that we find recorded, not just here, but with Matthew and John. And although I started here, Mark, I want to turn over and read this account in Matthew, because I believe Matthew includes several things that we don't find recorded here, Mark, that I think are important for us. And so this is the same event that we've been going through here in Mark, but I want to jump over here to the 14th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 14, and I'm going to start with the 22nd verse. And this is the same event we've in the same time here. If you back up here into Matthew, the 14th chapter prior to the 22nd verse, we find where he feeds the 5,000 and the other events I talked about that are described in Mark. But here in Matthew chapter 14, starting the 22nd verse, and it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away." Very similar to the verse we read in Mark, but he's going to add a few things in here. "And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." You know, starting out very much like our account there did in Mark. Once again, the disciples are out at sea, and a storm's coming up upon them. I think I read the 24th verse. Yeah, I read the 24th. It says in the 25th verse, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they came into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." There's a lot of similarities between what we read there in their first crossing and this one, but there's also some very stark differences. We find that as we read in that first crossing, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, once again, they're sent away in a boat. And they're given a destination, the other side. Again, a storm arises. The first time, our Lord was with them, but he was asleep. This time, he's not with them. This time, as I read it, it doesn't sound as though the storm seems to be as severe, but most likely, they are very tired. Because as I read the accounts, all the things that have been happening, it sounds like they probably had a pretty busy day before they started across. And here it says this is occurring in the fourth watch, which as I research it, with understanding I have, means this is occurring between 3 and 6 a.m. They've probably been out there the whole night trying to get across and fighting these waves. After having had a busy day, I'm sure they're tired, they're exhausted. It says they are tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. I mean, opposite of the direction they're trying to go. They're fighting the waves and the wind. Everything is going against them. They know and they're trying very diligently to accomplish what they set out to do, to get to the other side. But they're having a hard time staying their course because everything around them is trying to drive them different. I think frequently we find that happens in our lives, don't we? We start out with a good course and we believe we know where we're supposed to go, and yet everything around us starts to push us away, to change our direction, to change our course. And as I read this here, as Peter steps out of the boat, he initially is able to walk on the water until his attention goes upon what he's doing. He's looking at the storm around and begins to sink. But our Lord doesn't let him sink, does he? He stretches out his hand. But these words, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And I look at this not so much as a condemnation, but more of almost this extreme hope that and suddenly this disappointment. I liken it to many of us as parents, and as myself had the experience, and we're trying to teach a child to ride a bicycle without the training wheels. You know, and they want to so bad, yet they think they can't. And you're working with them, and they fall down and stuff. And finally you reach that moment where you know they can do it. And you're running along behind, and they're going faster, and you can't keep up. They're doing good, and you let go of that seat. And you're looking, and they're riding. They don't know you've let go. They're doing fine. They can do it. And all of a sudden they look back and realize they're doing it on their own. And all of a sudden, oh, and the handlebars start going, and pretty soon, dunk, down they go. But they could have done it. And you're like, you had it. And I think I picture our Lord doing that same thing. You know, Peter, you were doing it. What happened? Sometimes I think I frequently hear sometimes, you know, Peter criticized because of his lack of faith. But I want us to stress the point tonight, you know, he was the only one that got out of that boat. And I also want us to realize there is a difference in the Lord's response. If you go back out there, keep Matthew, we're coming back to here, but I want to go back into Mark. Well, we read that first account 2 weeks ago. Back here in Mark, chapter 4, verse 40. Here it says, verse 40, he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And now, Peter was able to step out of the boat. And although he succumbed to his fears and stuff, he doesn't say no faith. Oh, thou of little faith. Little faith. What an incredible accomplishment. I don't want us to understand what an incredible accomplishment. Although our Lord knew that he could do more, what an incredible accomplishment a little faith can do. For a moment, Peter was able to get out of the boat and to walk towards our Lord. Here in Matthew, jump over to the 17th chapter. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17, start with the 19th verse. Here the disciples have been dismayed because they couldn't perform some of the miracles that they thought they'd be able to, and they've seen the Lord perform. And starting here in verse 19, it says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto ye, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, and a mustard seed is a very small seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. What we can accomplish with just a little bit of faith. In our first account we read 2 weeks ago, in the fourth chapter of Mark, where they're going across and they encounter this horrible storm. And the Lord is asleep. And as I expressed to you at that time, I am quite confident he knew there was going to be a storm. And I do not believe for a moment that he was so, I don't doubt that he was tired, but I don't believe that he was so tired that he was unaware or that he was uncaring or he'd reached a point where he could no longer physically do anything about it. The fact that a disciple seemed to have no trouble waking him up would seem to indicate that. He was not troubled by the storm. He was at peace. He had that peace that we desire so hard to find, and yet it seems to be so elusive. And I'd ask you tonight, now that we've had this other portion, if you will, a continuation, you know, why was he asleep? Why was he able to sleep into the storm? Because he had peace. But why? But why? So that first account, when the Lord is with them and the boat's on the verge of sinking, what would have happened if the boat had sank? He would have walked. He could have walked. If the disciples had the faith, and certainly he had the power to make them accomplish that, but that's why he was at peace. If the boat sank, he would walk. He had the power to get the disciples to the other side. It was a learning experience for them. He was not troubled by the storm. He had the power to stop the storm. He had the power to walk across the water. He had the power to make sure the disciples got to the other side as he had directed. That's why he could sleep there, because There wasn't anything there to trouble him. And that's what he was trying to get across to them, I believe, in that first crossing. And now he's given them a second opportunity. That first time the Lord was with them and he was asleep. And the disciples think because he's asleep, like we attribute human qualities that, well, he's asleep, he doesn't know what's going on, he doesn't care, he's not going to be able to do anything. Well, now he sets it up even more. Now he's not even physically with them. They are on their own, as they would believe. And yet it tells us, you know, even physically, the Lord was on a mountain and could look down and see them, what was going on, no different than our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit is aware of everything that's going in our lives right now, even though when we look around, we may not physically be able to see them or reach out and touch them. The Lord was using these circumstances to strengthen the disciples in their faith step by step. He was using these circumstances to build and to strengthen their faith. As I said when I began a couple weeks ago in that reading of Mark, it was very early in our Lord's ministry. And the disciples still had much to learn. And that's what our Lord was trying to do. Because history hasn't recorded as much detail about all the early disciples, all of them, as much as some of the others. Certainly with the exception of Judas, though, history records that the remaining 11, and some of those were called afterwards, Paul and other such, learned the lessons. And they were able to weather horrible storms in their lives and maintain great peace and to do great miracles. Our camp theme, for those who are able to go, you know, our camp theme was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Several of the brothers that spoke there, you know, gave some great examples. Some tangible physical things to show us, you know, in our, to compare to our spiritual lives, how the Lord really can strengthen us to accomplish things that we don't seem to think that we'd be able to. Our brother this morning, as he stood before us, you know, he talked about preparation. Being prepared, being prayerful, not taking things for granted, giving them due reverence, the respect, and the preparation they're due. And he gave examples about some of our services, coming prepared, coming for a preaching service and lifting the speaker up, as I hope you've done for me this evening, you know, in prayer that we would receive the message and that the Lord's word would come forth as he desires it to be. And he mentioned our brother and our apostle, Jay Moser, talking that he sincerely believes that there are great things about to happen. And as I stand before you this night, I also believe that. As I stand before you, the Lord's also let me know there's many that are troubled with these storms in their lives. And I feel that it's my responsibility to stand before you and let you know that our Lord is not unaware. But as he allows certain things to happen for these disciples that seem very troublesome, there are also opportunities for him first to show his strength, to calm the storm, to show his ability, but to allow them to learn what they can do with even a little bit of faith. And I believe the Lord is working in our lives right now, that he's allowing some of these storms that we can see his power, we can see his might. And he desires very much, as he desired for Peter when he stepped out of that boat, he desired for Peter to walk all the way to him. That was his desire. But I'm sure he was very encouraged when he saw Peter have the courage first to stand up and step out. He really desired for him to come the whole way. I believe with what history records, what Peter was able to do, you know, he did learn that in his life. And he eventually, not literally in the boat, but the other storms of his life, he learned to be able to step out of that boat and to keep walking and to stay faithful in his service. But I want us to think about that for a moment. Picture yourself, if you can, if you've ever been out on a boat or even a ship, you know, in heavy seas, and you're being bounced and tossed about. I mean, try to think. You know, our Lord says a little bit of faith, but I mean, think about that. Be able to step off that boat. And I want us to think that really Peter was doing what humanly seemed impossible. Every ounce of any one of our ounce of our being would tell that, you know, you can't not do this. It cannot be done. And that's what the Lord was trying to teach them. With faith, you can accomplish what seems to be impossible to man. That was our theme for the camp, that the Lord can strengthen us in all things. I put before you this evening that the storms of our lives, the Lord is allowing for us to see if we can step out of the boat. We can have the faith to do the things that seem impossible. You know, not to this extreme, but an example I could throw out for you that was very difficult for me and a lot of anxiety was my changing of career almost 18 years ago now. You know, I was in a job where I had quite a bit of seniority. I had a good retirement plan, vacation time. I knew what to do. I was very comfortable and confident in my ability to do the job. I'd learned it well. But I also was very unhappy with a lot of things, and I felt impressed, and I believe it was through prayer and the Lord working my life, I felt impressed that I needed to leave that job, and I needed to go to another one. And I believe the Lord directed me to where I'm at currently with the police department. But I took a big cut in pay. It was very difficult financially for quite a while. I gave up seniority. I was now the new person. With our department, probably like most, you know, the first year on probation, about making fire for about anything, there really isn't any recourse. Wish it weren't so, but I mean, if you get on the wrong side of certain individuals and they just don't want you there, it'd be really hard to keep your job. But now as I stand here before you, you know, I have more time now with the police department than I did that job I had before where I was there for 14 years. But that company is almost non-existent. They've gone through some, sold several times, the economy, changing things. I'm not even sure if I know anyone who's still, my brother-in-law there, Jeff, out there, he's worked there. Does John still work there? Yeah, John's probably the only person I know that's still working there. They're far less people. I probably wouldn't have a job if I remained there. The Lord knew what was best, but it was difficult. I had to have faith. I had to be willing to step out and do something that was very uncertain. Because in all honesty, I really couldn't picture myself being a police officer. I really had, of my own, no desire to do it. And I felt the Lord was directing me there. To some of you, that might have been a simple step to make, but for me, it was very difficult. And I had to do it in faith, and I believe I've been blessed for that. And the security of having a secure job and be able to provide for my family and many other things that it's allowed me to do. Trivial compared to stepping out of a boat in a storm, but it's a small example. That when you do things that seem very difficult, we can accomplish things that seem impossible if we have faith and we fully believe that the Lord has directed us to do this. And that's sometimes the most challenging part, is to be really confident that really that's what the Lord is directing us to do, and it's not our own thoughts and our own ambitions and our own desires. And we have to be mindful of that. And that's why I made it a matter of prayer. I asked brothers and sisters here to pray about it with me, and I asked their advice, and so it wasn't just mine. You know, our Lord says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, and so I didn't make it all on my own. And that's what we need to be careful about, that we make sure that we do have these witnesses, those things to secure us, to strengthen us in our faith, that we can step out and we can accomplish those things that seem difficult or impossible to us, that we cannot even imagine. We have a lot that we can learn from the disciples and these examples that I read here. And First off, you know, we have to know our destination. I find, you know, both circumstances, the Lord told them where they were going. And I find that in the second instance, I think they've learned somewhat. They had that first experience. They saw what the Lord could do. They went to the other side. They saw things that happened. Because when I read this, even though they're in a storm, they're trying very hard to continue on their course. Everything's going against them, but it doesn't say anything about them. Turned about. They're still trying to accomplish what the Lord told them to do, to get to the other side. And that's what we need to know. We need to be assured of our destination, where the Lord's telling us to go. To meet together in mighty fasting and prayer, personally in our lives in fasting and prayer, and to be prayerful, and to know our destination. To know our Lord. To find time that the cares and the concerns of life that clutter our mind take our time, take our resources, that we find time that we have to spend with our Lord in prayer, in meditation, in fasting, that we know His power. You know, that first instance, the disciples knew He could do some things. They'd seen some miracles, but they were amazed that He could stop the wind and the waves. And I caution us this as I stand before you tonight. Do we also put limitations? You know, we know He can do certain things, but whatever it is, you put that limitation. Well, He can't do that in my life because you can fill in the blank. Any one of us, you know, I'm not important enough or I've messed things up too badly. Well, you know, I can go on. But there's something in your life that you limit the power of God. We cannot trust in ourselves. And we have to have faith that we can do what seems to man to be impossible. I'll tell you right now, I mean, in the short time that I've been here within the gospel, when I first started coming, I was baptized and I was called into the ministry and ordained. Most of our work in the world was going down into Mexico and the Yucatan. And you look at how small our group is and still is, to think that we could be in all the countries and doing all the things that we are accomplishing with our small amount of resources and people, finances, name it out there, it seems impossible, but it's happening. Because there are individuals that would step out of faith and have the faith to do things that are dangerous. Our brothers, I'm sure, sometimes they've expressed, I don't need to be sure because I know for a fact, you know, that they are going to situations that would be very scary if they weren't confident the Lord had directed them to go there and that He's watching over them. They've had to step out of the boat. I find it, you know, interesting that Australia, they have a coat of arms because they're kind of they're a British colony, and that's kind of a English thing to have these coat of arms and kind of, you know, in the European stuff. But Australia has a coat of arms, and on it there's several things, but it features two creatures. One's an emu, which is a bird, large bird, and a kangaroo. And if you read about why they were selected for the Australia's coat of arms, were two things. One is they're kind of unique to Australia. But the other is neither animal can go backwards. They can only walk forward. The structure of the emu's feet, it can't walk backwards. It'll fall over. The kangaroo with its tail, it uses a balance support. A kangaroo cannot go backwards. They're both animals that can only go forward. Reminiscent of what our Lord and Savior said over in the 9th chapter of Luke. Luke 9. Verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. There's no going back. The Lord is going to make sure that those disciples got to the other side because He directed them to go there. He used the also, as I believe, learning experiences for them to strengthen them in their faith. And as I stand before you this night, I believe our Lord is asking the same thing as, you know, we can't look back. You've entered into the waters of baptism. You've taken upon yourself the name of Christ. You're part of the restored gospel. You've come to sit here this night or to watch as we're live streaming this. You've started the course. And He has a direction for us to go, and there is no turning back. There are going to be storms along the way. Some are quite severe, I'm sure. And that first example, you know, was to the point of the ship sinking. And many times we may feel like our Lord is unaware, as though He's asleep in the back of the boat, or that He's not there as He was in this second crossing. But in each instance, He was very much aware. He had a plan. He had resources that we could not even imagine. But in the lives of the disciples, He was alive them to help them to learn and to grow, to be strengthened, and to realize what they really could do with faith. As I stand before you tonight, I feel that as a people, He's asking us the very same thing, that as our brother Jay has expressed, that we are at the brink of so many great things. And it's not going to come about without some trials, some hard times. And yet we need to remember what the disciples learned in these instances. To be sure of our course, to have faith that the Lord will get there, and to be open to the fact that He can accomplish it in ways that we cannot even imagine. That we don't hinder ourselves by limiting, you know, what has to happen such and such a way. And if it doesn't, you know, we get discouraged. Yet also, as I stand here before night, I know there's many heavy hearts, burdened souls. As you struggle with me, some of our young individuals struggle with the influence of the world, the decisions they have to make for careers, for education, spouses. Young families who are struggling with jobs that they have and whether to stay there or to better themselves. Concerned with their children and raising them and the influences and trying to raise them as they believe. Individuals who are in the later stages of their life and struggling with the health concerns and maybe problems they see in their families and their own children and decisions are made. The uncertainty of the future, our economy, you know, it's any number of things. And I don't in any way want to make light of that and think that, you know, that what you're going through is necessarily easy. But as I stand before you this night, I feel impressed to let you know that our Lord is aware. When He was there in that boat asleep, He was aware. When He was on the mountain, looking down, He was aware. And tonight, He looks down, He's aware. And yet, He really desires for us to be able to have the faith to step out of our boats, to accomplish great things, to see His power. And I don't know, and I stand before, I wish I could give some of you individuals some specific answers, but I haven't been impressed with that. Because in each of you, your boat's different, and what you need to do to step out is different. Obviously, I'm just using an example, but that He has great things in store for those that will have that faith. To first off, you know, to be, as our brother talked about, and that's where it all starts, as our brother talked about this morning, the preparation. in our prayer, in our services. And that's necessary that we know the direction we're supposed to be going, because that's what the disciples out there got. They knew he had told them, go to their side. And we can't accomplish really anything unless we have that assurity that we know that we are in the course and the direction the Lord has for us in our lives. That's where it has to start, because if you aren't sure about that, you're not going to be able to step out of the boat, because you're not even sure you're supposed to be in the boat. You're not even sure you're supposed to be going to that side of the shore. You have to start in that preparation that our brother talked about this morning. And we have to, not just as individuals, but as a people, as a church and as a local, within our families. The world is taking up our time. It's polluting it. It's distracting us with all the wonderful pleasures and the enjoyments and the little trinkets that catch our eyes and our attention, that take our time, that take our resources. And we need to make sure that they don't consume us, that we don't have time left to be prayerful about the important things, to meet together, to be caring, concerning about one another and our welfare and our soul's well-being. Because that's the first step, to know of our course and our direction. Because once we have that, perhaps I'm being too bold, but I would hope that every one of us, if we knew of a certainty that we are supposed to go from point A to point B, we're supposed to accomplish this task or whatever that the Lord has directed to us, that we would be able to demonstrate the faith that was evident in Peter, that we could do that. We could step out of the boat if it's required to, if we could do those great things. Because what concerns me this evening is, I think that's kind of although Peter ultimately kind of was short of the accomplishment, you know, he was able to step out of that boat and start walking across the water, and the Lord says that was a little bit of faith. Where I read over there, Luke, you know, with faith of a mustard seed, a small amount of faith, you could move a mountain. As I stand here tonight, I have to wonder, you know, where are we with our faith? If we're troubled so easily by so many of these things that beset us. Hopefully we're not back in that first reading where he says there was no faith. But I don't know what becomes between the no faith of that first reading and the little faith of Peter, that we're somewhere between those. A minuscule faith? I don't know. But I am so much encouraged to see what can be accomplished with a little bit of faith, that if we could have tremendous faith. And there are some of those that, you know, we read in the Book of Mormon. I'm not for a time. My time so rapidly disappearing. The brother of Jared, the great things he could see, and some of the great prophets, I believe, that had that faith. And so as I stand before you tonight, I feel impressed, you know, to reassure all of you that our Lord is aware of where you're at in your life. But I also want us to caution you not to think that he doesn't care, that he's unaware, but realize he may be using it to strengthen you, to help you to learn something, and to be open for that, and most importantly, to be open for the fact that what he may be directing to you is something that you cannot even imagine, that you don't think you're able to do, that you don't think you have the ability, the skills, the strength, the faith, but he believes you can. I entitled this sermon, Stepping Out, because I believe that's really the message that I've been given to present to you tonight, that our Lord is aware of the storm, but he also has the ability to call you out into it, unaffected as he did Peter. If your boat's sinking, if you have the faith, he'll walk you to the other side. If necessary, as he did with that first crossing, he can calm the storm. He can call us out into the storm. He can protect us in the storm. And I don't know in each of us what the specifics are going to be. But our brother Jay and I also, and I just add my voice to his, he voiced it, and I also have felt over the past several months that the Lord has great plans. And those great plans will probably receive great resistance from the world. And if we cannot stand in these little things, we'll be very troubled in the greater storm. And so I hope that we use these opportunities to look to the Lord, to be sure of our direction, to be sure of our course, be willing to put aside, to disregard those things that really are trivial, and to follow the direction He's given us. And have that faith and that courage, as Peter, to step out of the boat, but more than to step out of the boat, but to walk across the troubled seas to our Lord and Savior. And whatever that represents in each of our lives and collectively as a local and as a church, both here in the United States and throughout the world, I very much have a hope to see what we could do if we had great faith. No different than, as I remember, my daughter, when I was teaching her to ride that bicycle, you know. And I worked her to a certain point, and, you know, I let go, and I saw her riding, and I was just so ecstatic she could do this. And, of course, she looked back, and I wasn't holding her, and the handlebars wobbled, and she took that fall. But I was very hopeful. I knew that she can do this. As I stand before this night, I have that same hope that, I mean, we may be going along with the Lord holding on to the seat of our bicycle, or maybe we're to a point where we're kind of realizing we're out here and the handlebars are wobbling. That day that we can ride that bicycle, that we can step out of that boat, that our Lord can look upon us and not say, oh, no faith, little faith. But say, well done, thou faithful servant. And so I stand before you calling you to rise to the challenge. The storm that you're in is different than the storm that I'm facing. But the Lord is aware. And somewhere there's an answer. And we can't do it alone. We need to meet together often. We need to do as our brother instructed us this morning. As some examples, those of you who weren't at the camp, I'd ask someone around about the sermons that our brother Jay gave and our brother Bob. I also had the Monday service. You could talk to me directly. I believe the Lord is reaching out to us, and He's trying to encourage us, and He's calling us to great things that require great faith. But He believes we can do it. As surely as I felt impressed with the number of burdens that are upon us as a people right now, I also feel impressed upon the great hope that our Lord has for us and His desire to reach His hand out, to call us out of the boat, if we but have the courage to step out, and whatever that represents in your life. So I hope you've gained something from this night, and I sincerely hope I've expressed it in a way that's pleasing to our Lord and that you can understand and you've gained something out of it. And I just ask and pray that our Lord would strengthen us in these times we live and that He would help us in our faith. And I feel that that's something we need to make a matter of prayer, that the Lord will strengthen us in our faith. We have many needs, physical needs and stuff, but we need to ask the Lord to help us in our faith and to give us those opportunities to demonstrate our faith and be strengthened in it. And typically that comes with some adversity and things to overcome, because when things are going good, you really don't need a whole lot of faith, do you? Said, you know, there's no atheists in foxholes, because when the need is great, we seek out God. Throughout history, when God has blessed a people as nations, they usually become weak. I know myself as a parent, as I'm raising my children, as they're getting out, starting to come towards adulthood, as hard as it is to believe, I have to be a little bit harder on them because they need to be strong. I have to let them get hurt a few times. I have them realize their mistakes, and I have to help them to learn to stand on their own. And that's what our Heavenly Father is trying to do with us, I believe, is to make us a strong and faithful people. Thank you.